good morning. One thing that I'm learning pretty quickly as a Primitive Baptist here is that you can't really sneak in a Primitive Baptist church if you're a preacher. I specifically didn't tell Brother Sam that we were going to be here, even though we've known for a while, thinking that I might could sneak in and get to hear him preach, because that's why I was here today, to hear Brother Sam preach. And we are visiting a place about 30 miles away, and I was glad when we started Googling the Primitive Baptist churches in the area that Cool Springs popped up, because one, I've never been here, and two, I knew Brother Sam had recently come over here, and he's always very special to us. He actually gave me the charge at my ordination, and we've got to spend a good bit of time with him since he was in very close to us at the previous church he was at Vestavia. So you're very special to us, brother. And I wasn't here to preach this morning, but I've also found that Primitive Baptist preachers are so generous with the pulpit time. They're just unselfish. So next time I come, I may have a mask on and fake eyebrows and a wig, and you won't know who I am. But thank you, brother, for the opportunity. I appreciate that. And I don't want to take up too much time this morning. But I did have a few thoughts on my mind that I'd share with you this morning. And I'd like to talk to you about boredom. Boredom is, and that's something that I hope you're not bored right now, but it's something that plagues all of us at some time or another. Not necessarily boredom in that you can't think of anything to do, but maybe boredom in the sense that you've lost some interest in some things that maybe you at one point were very interested in. And you probably all have dealt with that at some point. You know, I've talked to people who were great musicians. One man in particular I can think of, very good piano player, been playing a long, long time. And I talked to him not too long ago and asked him about it. And, you know, are you still playing the piano? And he said, well, no, I've just kind of lost interest in it. And as good as this man is, I think back, he had to have a good deal of zeal and interest in it to get as good as he is now. And you go back maybe in time to when he was a younger man, and he was probably so driven to practice and to sit down maybe for hours on end and sit there and play and mess up and correct it and play and mess up and correct it, take lessons. I mean, he had to have a great interest in something to dedicate that amount of effort, right? But later on in his years, he said, I've just kind of gotten bored with it. I've just kind of lost interest in it. And, you know, for him, you know, he was a musician. You could name a million and one things that we find ourselves very zealous about. And then as time goes by, we might lose a little bit of interest in them. Right? Now, you know, for me, you know, I've had different things come and go throughout my life that at one point I was very excited about. I was very dedicated to practicing them and doing them, studying about them, reading about them. And now it would just, you know, I would just groan if I had to participate in it or read about it. It would bore me to tears. I've lost interest in it. And I'm not going to dedicate a whole lot of my time and energy to it anymore because I'm bored with it. You understand? Well, really, the question is this morning that I've got to ask you is, are you bored with God?
No.
Do you get bored with God?
No.
You know, maybe you say, well, there was a time that I was very zealous about the Lord, very excited about God, willing to put in a lot of dedication and a lot of effort to do the things that the Lord has asked me to do. But as time has gone by, I've gotten kind of bored with it. I've kind of lost interest in spiritual things, right? But because we're kind of conditioned to think that way anyway. From just a worldly standpoint, I think back about throughout my life at the, just think about the progression of just, you know, technology, right? Just think about the technology advances from, you know, maybe, or for me it would have been, you know, the early 80s and, you know, the 90s when I was growing up and the things that we had to do, the things that we had to entertain us. You know, my brother and I, we would go out and out in the woods and we had pine cone wars. You know, we would pick up pine cones and we would bomb each other and throw them at each other. And now, in today's time, you know, we also had an Atari. If y'all know what an Atari is, y'all remember an Atari? We had an Atari, you know, you go in there and you have a little joystick and the one button. Well, nowadays, the things that kids have to entertain them are far more interesting than Pinecone Wars and far more interesting than an Atari. And you probably couldn't take a teenager nowadays that have had all the things they've been exposed to as far as technology goes and say, all right, we're turning over a new leaf. Here's you a bucket of pine cones. Here's you an Atari. Have a good day. Why? It wouldn't interest them. Because the more things that we have that stimulate us, the more likelihood we have to grow bored with the things we already have. That's just the natural progression of the world. Well, God's people have a tendency to suffer sometimes of growing bored and losing interest in their God. Because there are so many other things out there that excite us and that interest us and that entertain us that we kind of get to a point where we get tired of putting in the effort. Maybe to get up and come to church. Maybe to extend our grace and forgiveness to somebody that's done us wrong. We just get bored. It takes a lot of interest to continue to be zealous and put in the effort into something. Amen. Now, when you think over in the 84th Psalm, the psalmist says, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. And he says, I would rather be a doorkeeper, which is a nobody. That's a nothing. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God and with the righteous than to dwell in the tents of wickedness.
Amen.
All right, you see what he's saying there? Maybe the tents of wickedness, and we know this based on the Bible, that the world has a lot of interesting and exciting things to offer us. The Bible describes them as pleasures. Everybody understands what that word means. The world has a lot of pleasures to offer that can be exciting and can draw our interest, and we can be very zealous towards them. But over here, the man says, I would just rather be a nothing. I would rather be the lowest of the low, a nobody, but to do it with God's people, than to be over here where all the glitter and sparkly things of the world are.
Amen.
You know, Moses said the same thing. Well, Moses chose the same thing. You see, Moses grew up in the house of Pharaoh. Well, if you grew up in the house of Pharaoh, it stands to reason you got everything you want. You would be the last one to go hungry in Pharaoh's house. You would be the last one to not have the nicest clothes. You would have the best comforts if you grew up as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But now, if you were going to be a Hebrew, that means you are going to be a slave. It means you are going to be told what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and you weren't getting paid for it. You did it, or they were going to beat you or possibly kill you. And Moses said, I would rather suffer affliction with God's people.
Amen.
Than to have all the pleasures of the world. You know what that takes? You know what it takes to say, I'd rather be a doorkeeper, I would rather suffer affliction and be with God's people than to have all of that. You know what that takes? It takes some interest in the things of God.
Amen.
You can't hardly be bored with spiritual things and make that choice. You've got to be excited about God. But we grow stagnant sometimes, do we not? We get a little bored, maybe. You know, Paul says in Galatians, the 6th chapter, he says, I've been crucified to the world and the world's been crucified to me. That means on the path of righteousness that I'm walking, the world doesn't see me as just a good old boy to go with them and do all the manner of revelry in the world. I've kind of died to that. And they're not interested in letting me tag along. But he also says in the same way, I'm not interested in tagging along with them.
Amen.
I've been crucified to them and they've been crucified to me. Because I've got a zeal and I'm excited. As a matter of fact, he says, I count all things but loss. You see, Paul was somebody. He wasn't a doorkeeper. Paul was special. Paul was somebody. And Paul said, you know what? I count everything that I ever was as loss, just to gain the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he made a choice, right? Now, let me give you this real quick. I want you to turn to Luke, the 5th chapter, for just a second. I want you to keep in the forefront of your mind that it takes an interest in God to continue to follow God. It takes an interest in God to continue to walk in obedience with God. It takes interest in God to continue to do the things the Lord wants us to do. Luke, the 5th chapter. Very interesting account right here. This is on my mind. We went over this with our family the other day as we ate dinner. This is the account of Peter. And it says, and it came to pass, this is Luke 5:1, and as it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Now you got that picture? I want you to picture it in your mind. Here, this mass of people have surrounded the Lord, almost like they've cornered him. And in front of him is all this mass of people, and behind him is a lake. So where am I going to go? And he looks over here, and here are two ships. Not the Titanic, not Carnival Cruise Line, probably two wooden boats. And the fishermen have docked their boats on the shore. They've taken their nets out, and they're cleaning the nets, cleaning all the algae out of their nets, cleaning all the mess on the nets that they would get from dragging it through the ocean. And it says, he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust him out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Can you see it? Can you picture that in your mind? Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. That means a big old pile of fish. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Now, when I was talking to the kids about this, we've got about a 2-acre pond at our house there. We go out there and fish a little and sit on the end of the pier, throw the lines out, you know, catch some fish. And if the fish are biting, we stay there for a little while and catch fish. If fish aren't biting, guess what sets in pretty quick? Boredom. I've kind of lost interest in this. We're not catching anything. I said, how would you feel if we went out there about sunset, we threw our lines in the water, sitting there holding our fishing poles, and we sat all night long. And the next morning, the sun came up, and we had caught nothing. We'd be tired, right? Cranky, ill, ready to go home and go to bed. Discouraged, right? And I said, what if your papa came walking across the pasture? And we were loading up all that stuff, tired and fussing at each other and just ill as hornets. And what if he walked up and said, hey, throw in one more time. After you've already got your rods and reels cleaned up, you got the bait put up, tackles put in, we're loaded up, we're going back home. How would you feel about that? And they were like, oh, that'd be terrible. Well, that's what the Lord is asking Peter to do, right?
Yes.
Now, if you fished all night long, now understand this. Peter's not out there fishing so he can post a picture of a big fish on Facebook. This is not sport fishing. This is his livelihood. If he's a fisherman. A fisherman without any fish is broke. And so he's mad, he's tired, he's likely discouraged, ready to go home. And here comes this man that has the nerve to get in his boat and tell him to push him out a little bit. And then on top of that, after he's already cleaned his nets, he's got the nerve to ask him to throw his nets back in, which means he's got to re-clean them. You know how you would feel about that. What if you worked a long, hard 8, 9, 10, 12-hour day, and as you were loading up going home, your boss said, hey, I need you to come back and do a little bit more. You know how you would feel. Put yourself in Peter's shoes here. Simon says, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Big words here, though. Nevertheless, At thy word, I will let down the net. Now, how do you think the story would have ended if that last part of that wasn't in the word of God? What if it had said, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing? I'm not doing it. Wonder how that would have played out. But Peter's got something inside him that says, Nevertheless, thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net break. And they beckoned in their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. All right, picture that. All right, Lord. Throws the net out. Starts to drag it in. Can you imagine the first time he felt some resistance? I bet his hands hurt from pulling that net all night. First time he felt some resistance. And he pulled up that net enough times to know about how many fish were in it. And as he begins to pull, and he's like, I can't pull this in. Maybe he pulls it up enough that the very top part of the fish began to splash at the top of the water. And he begins to holler to his friends, Hey, we got to have you. The Bible says his friends come over there, and they get the net, and they fill the boats with it. Right? It says, when Simon Peter saw it, and they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. This is the catch of a lifetime. All night now, nothing. And now all of a sudden, Peter has got a net full, so much so that it's breaking. Not only has he filled his boats, he's filled his friends' boats. And what would a good old fisherman be thinking? Jackpot. Right?
Yeah.
That's logical to think that way. We've hit it big. I cannot wait to roll into the market with all of these fish. I cannot wait to get home and tell my wife and show her the amount of money that I made today. This is a life-changing catch. Don't miss that. This will alter Peter's life from here on. Super rich now. He's not going to the market with 100 fish. He's probably going to the market with thousands of fish. Can you imagine what he would be thinking? I know what I would be thinking. If you get a raise at work, do you go home kind of sad and tell you, yeah, well, I got a raise? You go home excited about it. And Peter, when he saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners of Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And notice this. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. All right. Catch of a lifetime. And if I read this correctly, they pull those boats up onto the shore, overflowing with fish, and they left them there and followed the Lord. The Bible says they forsook all, including those fish, and followed Him. What kind of interest does it take in the Lord to do something like that? If you're bored with God, you don't do this. If you've lost interest in the Lord, you don't do this. If you've lost interest in the Lord, you do what the rich young ruler did. You go up to Jesus, you see His wonders, and you say, I don't think so. I think about the people in the city of Gadar. You remember where the wild Gadarean was? The man who lived in the tombs? Unclothed, cutting himself. Men would go and take him and bind him and put chains on him, and he would break them. Possessed with devils, he would break them. Crazy man. Can you imagine what he looked like? Scars, bleeding, fingernails probably long, hair long. He is the boogeyman. And he lives in the tombs, and can you imagine how he haunted the people of that area? Can you imagine the mamas and daddies saying, Hey, don't go that way. The wild Gadareans out there. And who knows what he's going to do. You know, if I knew that I had some unsavory characters that just lived within a mile of me, it'd make you a little uneasy, right?
You can go on your website and you can look if there are any certain types of offenders in your area because you want to be watchful of them.
Right.
Can you imagine what this man did to this area? Well, Jesus comes along and Jesus does what he does, and he takes this man, he casts the devils out, and he sends them into a herd of swine. And again, these people weren't farming swine for the fun of it. All right, here's a huge, massive herd of swine, pigs, that the town lived off of, that provided jobs for these people. And the Lord sends devils into them, and they run down the bank, and they drown in the sea. Now, word begins to spread of that, and all these people come out to see Jesus, right? What would you have done? Please don't leave. We've been afraid of this wild Gadarene for years. You have the given us a great deliverance. It is mind-blowing to me. Lord, when I walked up and I saw you standing there and I saw this crazy man sitting at your feet, clothed and in a sound mind. That's what the Bible says. It blew me away, Lord. I can't comprehend it. Please stay. But you know what they told him? Leave. Says they besought him to depart from their coast. Now this is being a little presumptuous, but you know why I think they did that? There's probably a part of them that were mad that now their city was suffering the loss of part of their livelihood.
Right. Yeah.
All the swine are gone. What else are you going to take from us if you stay? Get out of here. They had more interest in the things of the world than they had for the Lord. But Peter had more interest in the Lord than he did for the things of the world.
Amen.
Moses had more interest for the things of the Lord than he did for the things of the world. The psalmist had more interest in the things of the Lord than he did for the things of the world. You know what I told my kids when we got through talking about that? I said, the Lord does not open up heaven for us. Imagine this afternoon, you're out doing whatever it is you're going to do this afternoon, and bam, all of a sudden you look up and the heavens are open, and you see the Lord in all of His glory and His holy angels with Him. And He speaks to the world and He says, I want my people to know, I've not forgotten you. I'm coming back like I told you I would. This is just your friendly reminder. Can you imagine the interest that would be renewed in the minds of God's people? But see, we don't have that luxury because the Bible tells us we walk by faith,
amen,
not by sight. And I told my children this. I said, I want you to pray and I'm going to pray for you. That God will reveal Himself throughout your life in special ways. That you have a renewed zeal and excitement for Him. I'm praying that you will see His power and His goodness throughout your life. That you will be willing to leave a catch of a lifetime on the banks to follow Him.
Amen.
You see, that's what Peter got to do. Peter's tired and he's discouraged like we get too many times. But God revealed His power to him and His goodness to him. And it renewed something in Peter. And Peter was able to walk in obedience and leave all those worldly treasures behind. And that's my prayer for myself and for you too. That God will reveal Himself to us in those ways and strengthen our faith so that we'll be willing to walk with that kind of zeal. I hope that's been profitable to you, and please pray for Brother Sam.